Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
So you guys have been asking for more shows about e-commerce, but not so much just about growing an e-commerce business, but what are some ways that we can be selling products with Facebook ads? What's working today when it comes to selling physical products? So I asked a bunch of my friends who is doing some really cool stuff in the e-commerce space that I had to have on the show here. And Mike Jacknes's name kept coming up, and I am pumped to bring him here to you today. I loved this interview with Mike, and I think you're going to feel the same. Let's jump into it.
What do you get when you combine simplified digital marketing, proven ROI strategies, and Metallica blasting from his headphones? You get Rick Mole ready, of course. So strap in, grab your bulletproof coffee, and get ready, because this is the art of paid traffic. Here's Rick.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the show. This is episode number 183. I'm your host, Rick Mulready, and I am here to simplify online marketing strategies for you so that you can scale and create consistent income and freedom in your business. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with me today. Really appreciate it. As I mentioned earlier, my guest today, his name is Mike Jacknes, and Mike's on track to do eight figures this year between his four brands. Now, even if you're not interested fully in e-commerce, stick around because you're going to get a ton out of the really smart ways that he's marketing and selling his products on Facebook. On the show today, on the interview, we talk about everything from how to create an e-commerce business to how to come up with product ideas, all the way through to what's working right now with Mike's Facebook ads strategy. You're also going to learn how Facebook targeting plays into the criteria for deciding on a product for Mike and his team. We talk about different ways to source or create products. We talk about what are some pitfalls that you absolutely need to be aware of if you're getting into the e-commerce space. We dive into Mike's value-based Facebook ad strategy for e-com products, including video ads and Facebook Messenger, what's working right now for him. We talk about, I lost my breath right there for a second. That was weird. We talk about what Mike's Facebook ads marketing trifecta, in quotes, sales funnel looks like. We talk about why Mike cleans his email list on a daily basis. That was a fun conversation, and a whole lot more. Now, before we dive in, today's episode is sponsored by my brand new membership program, which is called the ROI Club. If you've been using Facebook ads for any amount of time now, or you're planning to use them, this membership is for you. You know that Facebook is always making changes to its ad platform, right? And it can feel like a full-time job just keeping up with all these updates. On top of that, putting together a Facebook ads funnel that's been proven to convert can be both intimidating and super time consuming. These are the two big reasons for why I've created the ROI Club, to save you the hours of time, the energy, and the annoyance that it can take to stay up to date on all these updates and also put together proven sales funnels in your business. Now, when I'm talking about updates, these are really important updates that Facebook is making, and that once you know about them, they can help you get even better results with your Facebook ads. That's why, as a listener of the podcast here, I want to extend you a special invite to be a founding member of the ROI Club. As one of the 50 founding members, you're going to get 50% off, 50% off the monthly membership price, and lock in that price for as long as that you're a member, even when the price goes up, because this founding member price is going to be the lowest that the ROI Club membership price will ever be. Now, when you join the ROI Club, each month you're going to get a live State of the Union webinar from me each month, where I'll demystify the latest Facebook ad updates that they've rolled out to its ad platform, like new features, policy updates that you need to be aware of, changes, etc. You know, the stuff that you need to be aware of if you want to be getting the best results possible on today's Facebook. Also, for that live State of the Union, I'm also going to include a live Q&A session with me, where you can ask me anything related to Facebook ads, the updates, online marketing, whatever. In addition, you're going to get a monthly complete plug and play proven Facebook funnel framework. That's a mouthful, to save you a ton of time and energy. In addition to these funnels, I'm going to be mixing in case studies and breaking these case studies down and funnels for you. Also, there's going to be a video where I walk you through how to use the funnel to make it work in your business. And finally, access to call recordings and all the membership materials from your very own private membership portal for the ROI Club. So if you'd like to jump in as a founding member and lock in 50% off the monthly membership, go to rickmulready.com/ROI Club. Again, that's rickmulready.com/ROI Club. All right, my friends, without further ado, let's jump into it and go hang out with Mike Jackness. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Doing okay. I was just saying before we started recording, I have a little bit of a cold, so I apologize for the sniffles, but otherwise doing really good.
No, I really appreciate you still doing this interview here and coming on to the show, even though you're not feeling well. It seems to be going back around. A girl on my team was not feeling well. She had something going on for the past week or so. Do you have the flu, or is it just a cold, or what?
I was actually really worried yesterday that it was the flu, because I kind of had a bit of the chills and just wasn't feeling well. But honestly, I think that it's just exhaustion. I was just in Mexico for 5 days for a retreat, and it was the opposite of what everyone thinks, which is like laying on the beach and sipping Mai Tais. It was, stay up until 4 o'clock in the morning talking about business stuff. And then we're up at 7 or 8 to go out and do another meeting or activity. And
yeah,
it just kind of wore myself down.
Gotcha. And you were in China recently, right? For a trip as well?
Yeah. So we go to China twice a year right now for both the Canton Fairs and Global Sources shows and everything. I've been speaking at Global Sources, which I really enjoy. So it's basically April, May, and then October, November.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. So, man, so many directions I want to go with this conversation with you. But first, a little background. So I get a lot of requests for more e-commerce information and content here on the show. And, you know, building e-commerce businesses and how to market them, Facebook ads, all that type of stuff. And Mike, your name comes up every time I'm asking around my friends, people who are in the e-commerce space. Your name always comes to the top. And so, like I mentioned, we've been trying to get you scheduled on here for a while now. So I'm really excited to have you come on and share your expertise. No pressure at all.
But no worries.
Before we get too far down the road, let's have you introduce yourself and share with AOPT Nation here a little bit about what you do and your background and stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm in my early 40s now, so the background part takes a while, a lot longer than it used to, because I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. But I'll start from when I quit my job, which is back in 2004, and got into affiliate marketing and SEO, affiliate sites and things like that, mostly in the online poker industry. I was really into playing poker and was in the right place at the right time. It was a pretty awesome time. But just really got sick of that. I mean, if you can think of all the stereotypes in the industry, they're pretty true. It didn't really match up to my like moral beliefs and just the type of person that I am and want to be and hanging around with. So in 2010, I left that company in the hands of one of the other partners and haven't looked back since. And we took a couple years off, we just kind of bought an RV and RV'd around for a while. And we're during that time, I was really into buying domain names as real estate to eventually use as affiliate marketing sites. And one of those domain names was treadmill.com. One of them was tactical.com. And you can kind of see where this is going.
You owned those?
I owned treadmill.com. We've since sold it, but I do still own tactical.com. Nice. And a bunch of other really valuable domain names. So yeah, just one day we were starting to get back into the work mode, and we had set treadmill.com up as an affiliate site originally in like 2012. And, you know, Panda and Penguin were starting to come out, and I started just like looking at my life and just the type of person and business I want to run. And I realized, like, making some hard conversations with myself, that I wasn't really adding a lot of value by not really even knowing that much about the treadmill. And then, you know, telling people this is the number one treadmill, they click through that link, I make money. Mm-hmm. When they went to Sports Authority or something, and or Amazon, and bought it. And so I was like, you know what, I want to get into e-commerce. I want to start selling these things and really like create a business and learn about it. And that's how I got into e-commerce.
And you said you've been doing this a long time. What was sort of like the next step there? Because you mentioned something, you meant a couple of words there that really jumped out at me, like, you know, ethical. And we pulled some testimonials from people that have worked with you or taken your courses and stuff like that. And that seemed to be a theme for when people think of you, Mike, they think of ethical, they think of integrity, they think of people, a person with vision, that sort of thing. And, you know, a lot of people wouldn't do, I don't think, what you did as far as talking about the treadmill there. Like, you know, you were making money off it, but it just wasn't the right, it doesn't feel right for you. Where did you kind of take things after that?
Yeah, I mean, we sold treadmill.com because first off, I appreciate you saying the thing about the ethical stuff. It's interesting. That question just came up in this retreat. There was a lot of hard questions that were going around, and we played this game of, you know, just kind of answering these questions. And one of them was, what do you think other people say about you when you're not around? Mm. And that's a tough question to answer because it's hard to know exactly what people think. And my answer to that was, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to know what they say, but I really care about what they say. Like, so I mean, I live my life in a way that no one ever has anything bad to say about Mike Jackness, right? It's I don't care about what people say about me as far as like what I look like or how I dress or what car I drive. That that stuff I can care less about. But I don't want them to think I'm the guy that's like ripping people off or scamming, right? So that and that's actually one of the reasons why we ended up selling treadmill.com, because we started running that business. It was a drop ship business, and we just weren't making people happy. Like, I mean, our customers just weren't really happy. You're shipping big, heavy pieces of equipment. You're not the one in control. You know, you're relying on someone else to ship that stuff. So it goes out late. You get tracking numbers late. It goes on LTL trucking. It doesn't go on, you know, UPS or FedEx. So people show up late to deliver it. You know, people take a half a day off of work, and then like the trucking company doesn't show up on time. They're pretty upset. It gets damaged easy in transit. All these different things were kind of going wrong in that business. So after a couple of years of running it and realizing that I couldn't fix all the problems, because that was my first intention, was like, oh, well, then I'll start stocking these treadmills myself, and I'll like hire a trucking company that really can get this stuff delivered. And I realized after a couple of years I was fooling myself. This was a very legacy industry, and those problems weren't going to get fixed. And we sold it and moved on.
And since then, you're building multi seven-figure e-commerce businesses. I want to hear more about those businesses, but I also think that it's really interesting that you do at your site, Ecom Crew, and Ecom with one M, E-C-O-M, crew.com. You document the building of these businesses, which I think is really cool. And I think is super, super smart. So why don't we, before we get into the documentation part, what types of business are you running right now? And then, you know, tell us about the documentation part.
Yeah, love to break into that. So, I mean, this year we're on track to do eight figures, which is a pretty cool feeling. Yeah, you know, I've done that before in the poker business, but it's, I don't know, like as an entrepreneur, you always have these goals, and the number doesn't really mean anything, but it does at the same time. So it's an exciting year for us to get back to that mark. And that consists of four brands. I mean, we've had a breakout into multiple brands to continue our growth pattern, which has been the double every year since we started doing e-commerce. And we're doing that now through all of our own stuff. So like we manufacture the stuff, we design, conceive of the product ourselves, come up with it, go over to China, get it manufactured, or other parts of the world. It's not just China, and try to differentiate in ways. I mean, I can go on for a long time about that. We can talk about that later if you want, but there are products. They have our name, our trademark, our IP, whatever it is. And the four categories are hot and cold therapy with icewraps.com. We have coloring that's geared towards adults with colorit.com. We have a baby brand called Wild Baby that's focusing on natural, organic, earth-friendly type products for babies that are, you know, for parents that are environmentally conscious. And the fourth one's like a big category, which is I mentioned before, we own tactical.com, and we're taking a strategy there of basically taking all the skills I developed over the past 15 years and putting it into one like massive project, which is to run a blog and content site that's kind of the center of the universe of a bunch of e-commerce properties. So we have a bunch of products that we're developing now, and we've also purchased survivalfood.com and to kind of be like this like nucleus hub thing that kind of goes on in the tactical and prep space, which includes hiking and camping and survivalism and doomsday stuff and all kinds of things in that space, which is never going to go away. So we were looking for a deep market that, because the thing that we kind of learned with Color is that it isn't that really deep market, and building a brand is tough. So we don't want to continue to do that over and over again. So we set our sights on this tactical space now too.
And that, but that's not where you're, the tactical, that's not where you're documenting stuff. Like that's just one of the four brands that you're working with. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. So Ecom Crew, which you mentioned, is what we're documenting. I don't really, people ask like, why did you start it and all this different stuff? Again, I've been doing affiliate marketing and blogging and all these different types of things for a long time. And one of the things that I really, really hated about the online poker industry is that I couldn't ever talk to anybody about anything that I did because they were my competition. I mean, everyone was trying to rank number one for online poker. There was thousands of affiliates, and they all were, if I got a sign up for an online poker room, someone else would feel like I was taking that from them and vice versa.
Yep.
So it was ultra competitive, ultra dirty. Whereas in e-commerce, like it's a multi-trillion dollar business. And, even if someone were selling coloring books up against me, like my attitude's also changed in that I don't ever think that I'm going to sell 100% of all the coloring books or gel pens or markers in the world. And I'm just more focused on like what I'm doing and what's happening in our company. And if someone like needs to just copy what we're doing verbatim, they're probably not going to be very successful. And if they can, take that information and then beat me with me having a multi-year head start, then I'm the one that got complacent and I should be blaming myself. It's just a totally different attitude towards life. And just one other thing real quick. I mean, the other thing is that it's helped me grow like as a person, as a business person. I mean, the friendships and relationships, I mean, like just the fact that we're doing this interview right now is a perfect example. I mean, this is something that never would have happened if it wasn't for Ecom Crew. And, the answer that one of the people gave in my mastermind when I answered the question about what do people think about you, and I could see I was kind of getting emotional about it. That one of the guy's answers was like, Mike Jackness is known as the guy that's willing to help anyone. And that's true. Like I really enjoy helping people, especially if it doesn't come at the expense of hurting myself.
Sure.
And that's the thing that's really just so unique about e-commerce and Ecom Crew. I can help anybody and it doesn't hurt me in any way. And I don't ever believe that like just because I help somebody do something that they have to necessarily directly pay me back. I really believe that like the universe pays you back in other ways. And again, this interview is a perfect example. And the way this interview even happened is through, we were talking about before, through other contacts and other people that I've helped and done things with. And so that's kind of how we ended up here.
When did you have that shift of abundance and, thinking less about from a competitive standpoint and just staying in your lane and doing your own thing? Because I think that's something that for me personally, early on in the business, I was similar to what you were saying as far as the poker stuff goes, where I was like, well, I want to be careful with what I'm sharing and how I'm doing things and all that stuff, because I think that people are going to beat me or whatever. And that's for me, that's really shifted over the past few years, where it's like, I come at it from an abundance mindset. Somebody just asked me this week, actually. They said, you know, you're friends with all these people, and some of them you could consider, you know, competitors, quote unquote, to what you're doing. Like, how does that work? And how do you feel about all that stuff? And I was like, I just come from an abundance mindset. There's plenty of people that want help out there. So when was that shift for you into that sort of mindset?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy, actually. I can think back. I mean, it wasn't like a day necessarily,
sure,
but it was a shift over a couple of years. And the definitive thing there is that I no longer made my number one priority money. Like, I mean, when I was younger, like, money was by far and away like my number one driver. I think that this is an easy thing to get sucked into in American culture specifically. You know, living abroad for a couple of years helped change this mindset. There's a reason why cliche sayings like money doesn't buy happiness exist. And, you know, after having made seven figures in a year before, you realize that that isn't the thing that like really is what makes you happy. And I just, yeah, maybe I'm giving up a little bit of money by helping somebody or they become a competitor or whatever. But I value the friendships and relationships like way, way above that now. Like, yeah. It's not even close. Like, it's not even... And it's easier, like, of having had money or lost money or whatever and all these different things. It's easier to say it when you are more financially independent. I get that.
Sure.
But, you know, I don't aspire to have a private jet. I don't aspire to drive a Maserati. I don't aspire to have, like, 17 beach houses. Like, I just don't – like, my driver is not to just accumulate wealth anymore. It is not – it's not what the game is for me. It's the friendships and stuff that – at the end of the day, like, what really matters, like, you can't take the money with you and, like – trying to accumulate it doesn't really get you anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So many questions I have for you. How do you now one of the things that jumps out at me of one of your brands there is the coloring books. I think is so smart. I know that a question that comes up a lot, and I know that you get this all the time, and let's kind of talk high level here because this could be we could talk about this for days. But how do you come up with those product ideas?
Yeah, so it's an evolution. I think that life is, you know, one of these things where you have one experience and it builds on the next one, and we're at a point where we basically have like 17 criteria or something along those lines of what we're looking for in products to develop a brand. I'm going to kind of rattle them off the best I can here real quick off the top of my head. But the first one is that we want things that are relatively light and easy to ship, that don't break in shipping, that we can ship by common carrier like FedEx or UPS. This is one of these things, again, lessons you learn from selling treadmills. So coloring books certainly fit that. We want things that don't expire, you know, so we don't want things that have an expiration date on them, whether it's like a food product or going back again to treadmills, those basically expire. You don't think about it, but like every year there's like a new model.
Yeah.
And all the work that you put into creating content and videos and SEO around all that is only good for a finite amount of time. So we don't want that. We look for things that aren't fatty. We don't want like fidget spinners or something like that where it's here today and gone tomorrow. There's a lot of other like little criteria like this. I'll skip past the ones that don't matter as much. I want to talk about the ones that I've discovered that really matter. One of them is passion. Like, we realize that selling something that people are passionate about and are going to talk about for you is really important. So think about the three brands that we've launched since we've discovered this, which is coloring, baby, and tactical. Like, these are things that like everyone loves to share their coloring drawings because they're artistic and they want to share this. Like, show me a parent that doesn't want to talk about their kid.
Mm-hmm.
and show me a survivalist that isn't like, or a camper or a hunter that isn't just ultra passionate about what they do. So for us, that's a really big category is this passion thing. As a marketer, I want to leverage our customers' passion. So that's a big one for us. The other one is Facebook. You know, I think this is going to transition into advertising, so mm-hmm. I wanted to bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
We want things that have a direct audience on Facebook. It's hard enough making money on Facebook ads as it is without having to be really ambiguous with your targeting. I'll give you some examples here real quick. With something like ice wraps, we have great products with our hot and cold therapy products, but who the heck do I advertise that to? Do I advertise it to someone who plays tennis because, you know, they maybe have tennis elbow? Well, mm-hmm. the problem is that only a small percentage of people who play tennis have that ailment. Do I advertise to older people just because in general older people have more aches and pains? Well, that isn't definitive, and they might have aches and pains in a different part of their body than the product that I'm showing them is for, versus something like coloring books. Like, there is a direct audience for that on Facebook. Babies, there's a direct audience of expecting mothers, of mothers that have kids that are 0 to 2 years old, that have kids that are 2 to 5 years old, whatever. There's like all these different age ranges, and it's a direct correlation of advertising. And obviously the same thing exists in camping and hunting and survivalism. So that's another like really important thing that we figured out along the way, to be able to make sure that we have like really dialed in targeting that isn't just, I'm going to advertise to everyone in the United States and hope that it works.
Now, you mentioned, I'm so glad, and we are going to transition to that. I love that you're, I think it's so interesting that that's a big criteria for you. I think that's super smart to be thinking about, that. From a coloring books perspective, I would think that that is a broader category of people on Facebook. How are you guys approaching, I'm just curious, how are you guys approaching that on Facebook?
I mean, there's literally an audience of people who like coloring books. So that's how we approach it. I mean, it's
okay. From an interest perspective.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Exactly. That's what I'm, and sorry, it wasn't clear there. Like, that's the thing, right? We're looking for an interest of, you know, X, Y, Z, or a behavior, or just some type of way we can dial it down. So like in this case, there's an interest of people who like coloring. In a tactical space, there's an interest of people who like camping, for instance, of like 10 million people. I mean, it's a massive interest. And the same thing goes for baby. It's a behavior, which is, you know, people are expecting or have kids.
Sure.
So some way to dial down the targeting.
Now, what if you, is there in making that decision about, okay, I'm going to go with this product or I'm going to test this product out, does it have to meet a certain number of these criteria? Because if there's a passion, for example, but not a great, you know, a specific audience per se on Facebook, is that something that you'd stay away from? Or is that something that you're like, I'm going to try to figure this out?
So we stay away from it. I mean, we're basically done with the launching new brands. So like at this point we have what we want, because we can get to $100 million company now with the brands that we have.
Yeah.
And again, it was like all on purpose. We kind of mapped this out on purpose this way. But if I was to go out and look for a new brand, we either have to be able to check everything off our list or we don't do it. I think that if you've made the mistake and learned something along the way, like why expect it to be different result later?
Sure. Sure. Now, again, this is another one of those, like, we'll do high level, because again, we could talk about this forever. And I know that you teach this stuff and you have programs and stuff like that, which we're going to be talking about in a little bit. So let's say someone decides on, all right, I think this is a really cool niche that I want to go in with this type of product. What's sort of the next step there from an evolution standpoint, as far as like sourcing? And that can be a really kind of nebulous next step for someone who's thinking about doing this from an e-commerce perspective. Is there sort of a simplified way that you recommend that people look at that?
Yeah, this is going to be a big mouthful here, so I apologize.
No, I know it's a big question.
Yeah. Let me break this into little pieces. So first of all, when we're looking at developing something new, let's just say the one that always comes up is a garlic press. This is like the inside joke in our industry.
Yes.
Is the garlic press. So let's just say you want to develop garlic presses. People have passion about food and you can do good targeting, et cetera. So it meets all these different things. So now it's like, I want to develop a garlic press. Like, how do I go about doing this? For me, step one is, can you make a better mousetrap? Like the error of what's called like private labeling is dead, and private labeling is taking something that's already being manufactured, let's say in China, that you can find on Alibaba, and doing nothing more than putting your name on it. Like, they literally take an existing, you know, widget and put, and just put your name on it and throw it in a poly bag and you start selling it. That did work at one time. That's the kind of the get rich quick part that we try to stay away from. You know, my thing is, can you at least improve this product by, let's say, 20%. Let's throw that number out there. So for us, everything that we've done, like, we don't just private label it. We're looking at ways to improve that product in some way. And that improvement can be maybe even something as simple as changing the color or improving the materials. Like, you tell the manufacturer, I want to use a higher grade plastic or a higher grade steel or a better zipper or a better whatever. Like, there's all kinds of different materials. And it's interesting when you try to source that in China and ask those questions, a lot of times they'll push back and ask, like, why would you want to do that? Because their mentality is to develop the cheapest possible thing. and not focus on quality. Mm. So you can improve that way. That's one way you can improve, is just improve the materials. Another way is to make a slight change. You can, there's certain things that we've done in our business without giving away like too much of our secret sauce, where in a small way, you can make a big improvement. I'll give one example, which is our gel pens. I mean, we took a pen that was already a really good pen that we went out and found the best pen we could possibly find. But then we came up with a color palette that we printed on our pens. Now, people that are in the color, this seems like nothing to anybody else that isn't in the coloring. But if you're in the coloring and there's 8 shades of red in your gel pen set, you want to be able to pick up the exact same one to color your drawing again to pick up where you left off, for instance.
Yeah.
So little things like that can be an improvement. Another improvement you can do is to bundle things. And this is one of the things we teach in our course as well. You can take a bunch of disparate things that work together and make something where the whole is way greater than the sum of the parts. So just to keep on the gel pens thing again, I mean, we took the pens, added a case that we custom designed, and added refills and put it in a really high quality box that people use as a craft box. Individually, those things aren't any better necessarily, even though we made the improvement that I mentioned as well with something else. But having the bundle and everything together makes a product that just didn't exist in the marketplace. It makes it substantially better. Mm. These are the types of things that we try to do. And we do this day in and day out with everything that we develop in our company. And so that's the first part of the whole thing. And I'll take a break and see if you have any questions about that before I move on to the other thing.
No. I think it's what I'm hearing here is this is a mindset for how you think about what you can be offering. You know, having that passion, what you're talking about, then thinking about, okay, I want to be in this niche, and like, so let's just say you've decided on that. Then like, okay, what are the types of products, and we're not going the private labeling route, but looking at it from these perspectives that you're talking about, I think is really smart. And I think if you're not approaching it from that perspective, like, because my mind immediately went to like, my brain doesn't work that way. But I think if I start to train it in that way and looking at different things, if let's just say I made a decision on, all right, I want to be in this niche or whatever, and I started looking at products within that niche and thinking about it from this perspective, I think it'd be really helpful. But I think it's that awareness of that mindset of like, okay, I'm going to be looking at it this way, which is going to help me in figuring out what that product could be. I think that's super helpful.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you mentioned something here real quick I want to just hit on. Like the whole basis for like our company, like one of our core values, it's like even like literally written on our wall. You know, my goal, again, it's not the money thing, right? It's not like, I'm not just like looking to make a quick buck and get money from someone and not give a flying fart about how they feel about the product. There's lots of people out there that like literally can care less about how someone feels after they, you know, get the product that they developed. I know lots of people like this. Like, that's my number one goal. Like, being able to differentiate and be so successful is like, we're literally developing products with a focus of how is someone going to feel when they get this? Are they legitimately going to have like a 5-star experience with this? Not because I'm like solving my own self-interest here, because like I know that a 5-star product sells better, but because I legitimately want them to like have like a visceral like, oh wow, I'm like really happy with this product moment when they buy something from me and be happy long-term. And it's not just about collecting bucks from them. And it all starts there.
Mm-hmm. Now let's talk. So I want to kind of keep the evolution of this going. So let's just say we've decided on a product, and then like, I guess the next natural progression question for me in this whole conversation, but I don't really know if I want to go there because it's a big conversation and there's multiple ways to do this as far as like, all right, you decided on a product, you know what you're going to do. Then how do you get it created? Is that an easy answer, or should we just kind of like just say, I don't know where that this question goes, I'm just being honest with you. Is this an easy answer, or is this something we should just sort of move on to the next thing that I want to talk about?
I can answer it in a simplified version in 90 seconds.
Awesome. Okay, cool.
So there's a few different ways to go about it. You can get on something like Alibaba, which is like the simplest way, and just start doing searching and try to find the factory that makes something as close to what you're looking to develop as possible, and start the email communication and samples back and forth route. It takes longer. The pipeline for that takes longer, but it's cheapest because you're not having to like fly to China. The next thing would be going to something like the Canton Fair or one of the other many fairs in China. and getting your feet on the ground there and walking up and down aisles and looking for manufacturers. That's the bulk of what we've done, has been to go that route.
Mm-hmm.
We do other things as well now, but that's basically how like we really got started. And the other option would be to use a sourcing agent, which is someone you can hire that either is in the United States or abroad that would help you find the product. And then just one last thing I'll mention is it depends, like the way that you're going to want to go is going to depend greatly on how much IP you're going to try to bring to the conversation. So are you developing your own molds, or you're using something that already exists, or are you literally inventing something that's never been done? And so like the more you're inventing and creating molds or doing something that hasn't been done, the harder it is to kind of get started. And you'll need probably a sourcing agent or someone to help you through that process versus if you're making, and the thing that we teach a lot in our courses is how to make smaller, easier changes that are still defensible, but don't create all these other high upfront cost and stretch your timelines out extraordinarily long to where it's hard to develop products and scale your business. So that's kind of the Reader's Digest version of it.
I mean, brilliant. Like I really, and of course we can dive into that really deeply, but that was like, that's exactly what I was like hoping for, honestly, just to kind of get a sense of what options that people have if they want to go down this route. Now, with what you were saying there, Mike, I'm sure there are some, you know, are there two or three absolute things to look out for that you've learned over the past several years that people really should be knowing about, maybe like a blind spot, maybe something that you know from your experience, but somebody just sort of getting into this might not know about? Any couple of those things that you could think of?
And this is specifically with like sourcing?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. In that process that you were just talking about.
Yep. All right. So the first one I'm going to throw out actually isn't directly related to sourcing, but I'm going to throw it out anyway, because I think this is super important. And in that it's really tough to create a market. So, you know, if you're trying, like I see like all these interesting products that people are trying to develop all the time and they wonder why they're not successful. If someone isn't searching for it, you know, you're trying to, let's say, sell on Amazon. The only things that sell on Amazon, it's an attention-based platform. So someone's got a problem, whether, you know, I'm just like looking around the room here. The thing I just most recently bought was a USB-C to like USB adapter for my MacBook.
Oh yeah.
Pro. Like, so I'm looking for that. You know, so I'm searching for that. But if you have a product that like no one even knows that they're looking for yet, like my recommendation is to really stay away from something like that. It's very difficult to create a market. If people don't know what they're looking for yet, if you're not a millionaire or independently wealthy or whatever, it's a tough place to be in, and your chances of success are going to be lower. That's number one thing. Another thing I see people making mistakes of is not getting their stuff inspected or laying out the rules in detail with their Chinese supplier. The Chinese culture and supplier's default position is to cut corners in any way that they can. I'm not saying this to scare people, because it's an easy problem to overcome. You just got to be thinking about everything and write down everything that you want, the type of zipper you want, the type of fabric, the stitching, whatever it might be, depending on the type of product you're using, like how thick the aluminum might be or et cetera. And then make sure that you get that inspected before you make your final payment. I think that's really important. You know, I think another thing just in general that people miss on is just too short-term of thinking. I mean, the reason that we go to Asia twice a year is to build relationships. As I mentioned before, relationships are super important to me. Having FaceTime with people. Now, this is one I realize it depends on your current situation. If you're currently got a job and you're living paycheck to paycheck, like unfortunately most Americans do, it's a lot harder to like spend $5,000 and take a couple weeks off and go over to China. So I realize that, you know, this is one that might be more difficult for some people, but for us, it's something we made a high priority in the early going. And we were talking just before recording this podcast to someone who we're looking to hire in the supply chain management role. And they were discussing just like how difficult it is because shipments are always late, or the production's late, or there's quality issues. And we don't really have those problems because we work on relationships, and we know that they know that we're going to be there a few months from now, and they're going to have to like have dinner with us and explain to us why they're screwing up. And this is just human nature type of thing. So I think they'd rather kind of push the screws a little bit to someone else that doesn't go through that extra mile. I think that's important just in life and in business in general.
Sure.
I'm trying to think if there's any other major things. I can't really think of anything off the top of my head. There's probably several others, but those are the big ones.
Those are huge. Yeah. Let's move into the marketing. What are you seeing that's working well? Now, you mentioned before, you know, as part of your criteria, Facebook targeting, and, you know, something that that you can leverage a customer's passion for. What's working from a marketing perspective on e-commerce in general right now, what you're seeing?
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing that we've basically built our entire business off of over the last like 2 to 3 years is a couple marketing tactics that seem a little bit scammy on the surface, and it actually bothers me, but we actually provide value and don't scam anybody, which is like basically like free plus shipping offers. And I'll get into what that means in a second. And, you know, free downloadable content or something. We're giving something to somebody in exchange for their email address so we can continue to market to them over a long period of time. Those mm-hmm. are the two big concepts that have really worked for us. And I can dig into each one of those for you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So the first thing I'll mention that everyone needs to be thinking about, and this was tough for me to kind of get around, because like as I mentioned, I've been doing this stuff for 15 plus years. With Google, with Amazon, you know, with search engine optimization, with traditional advertising, it's all intention-based advertising. So as I mentioned before, people are typing in something at that exact moment, and they're trying to solve that problem, whatever it might be, as quickly as possible. So they type in, if they're looking for adult coloring books, they'll type in adult coloring books, and they're looking to buy. It's pretty easy in that environment to sell somebody something because they have their wallet open, they want to buy. In Facebook land, it's the exact opposite. It's what I call interruption marketing. So, you know, someone is walking down the street about to get hit by a car. They're on the bus, like on the way to work. They're in the restroom, you know, whatever. Think of like where people are using their phones for the most part. It's in short bursts. They're not focused on what you're advertising to them. So whatever tactic you're taking has to be as close to frictionless as possible. Mm-hmm. So where people I think go wrong is they try to advertise like their product in a way that they're trying to create a sale at the exact moment that someone's seeing an ad. And most people don't even have enough time to like complete the process at the moment that they're seeing your ad. Like they're literally got 3 minutes, right? And it takes longer to type in all your information and make that sale. And they were just looking at their grandkids' vacation photos, and now you're showing them an ad for your product. So just wanted to throw that out first. Like that's the environment. So like how do you overcome that? And the way that we've overcome it is by giving value first. And it was what I was mentioning before. So like we'll give people free coloring pages, or do a free plus shipping offer where we'll offer them, you know, a trial size of baby shampoo for free so they can experience it, whatever it might be, whatever product it is. They're getting it at a value that the offer is too good to be true, to the point where it almost seems, like I said, it almost seems scammy. It's like, you know, we're going to send you this for free. But legitimately, that is what we do, because we know, again, that we're developing really high quality, great products that if we can just get them in our customers' hands, they will want to buy more electively. So we can flip that whole psychology around to like, who the hell are you? Leave me alone. Like, I don't want you to bother me, to like, oh my God, I love this. Like, how do I give you my money?
Yeah.
And that's basically what we've done.
I love that. And you're building your, you mentioned before, Mike, you're building your email list as you go for each of these,
yes,
for each of these brands, so that you can continue that relationship. What does that follow-up look like once they have, you know, given you their email address in exchange that where you're sending them a free trial? What does that follow-up look like?
Yeah. So whether they're getting the free trial or they're downloading something, because we also offer free downloadable content, the emails are pretty relentless. And this is something else I've struggled with, because I don't particularly like getting email. I don't like doing to others what I don't like done to myself. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like I'm looking at our statistics. We make it very easy to unsubscribe. So if you don't want to hear from us, we don't want to bother you. Like, so we don't play any games like that. But our open rates are generally in the 35% range, which is,
wow,
like staggeringly high.
Huge for e-commerce. Like that's, yeah, wow, I mean, that's awesome.
It's almost triple the average.
Yeah.
Part of that's been working very hard on deliverability. So we use some tools that help get things in the primary inbox and some other tricks like that. But it's mostly because people want the emails that we're sending them. That's a big key. Like we're not just sending emails every week that says, this is on sale, this is our new product, like buy this, buy that. It's the 80-20 rule. And for us, it's even really more like the 90-10 rule. The vast majority of the communications we send to our customers are, how can we help you? Like in the coloring space, would be like, hey, check out this video on how to blend with colored pencils. Check out this video on how to sharpen your colored pencils. Check out this video of how to color this page in a time-lapse way. And here's also a free drawing of this page so you can follow along with us and try to recreate what we're showing you here. Things of that nature. And then every now and then it's, oh, we have this new product that just came out. We think you might like it. And they're trained to then open our emails because they're hoping that it'll be something else of value to them. And hopefully they like the product we're selling as well and want to buy it. And that's the approach that we take with it versus sitting around here thinking like, how can we trick people into buying our products that that we're going to email them about?
I think that goes back to, it circles back to what you're saying before, Mike, about, you know, not going the lazy route, that you're very serious about this and your main goal is to be helping people with the products that you're creating. And if someone is not taking that approach, they're not going to be putting the effort in to be creating that type of content, like how to, you know, three ways to, I don't know, blend the colors or whatever, like helpful content. They're not going to go that route. But yet I love to hear that this is the approach that you are, that you're taking, and thus building better relationships with your customers and them, you know, then that goes into all different types of things as far as like, you know, repeat business and word of mouth and all this other stuff and building credibility and trust in your customers. You mentioned something there that I took a note here that I want to ask you more about. You said the free downloadable content. What's an example of that that you guys might be providing with, you know, from an ads perspective?
Yeah. So, I mean, you can go to colorit.com/free and actually experience this for yourself. But we have a promotion where we offer them 20 free downloadable drawings. And the ad basically is exactly that. And it's a video ad, and we show people exactly what you're going to get. The landing page shows you exactly what you're going to get. We mentioned specifically there's no credit card required, no personal data, no gimmicks, no bait and switch. We actually had to call that out because people are thinking from that perspective off the bat. Mm-hmm. And we drip out the content. That's been a big part of our success. We don't just give people all 20 drawings all at once. We give them the first drawing right away. And then the next day we give them like a little bit of propaganda about the promotion or whatever, that this is going to be coming every other day. Then the next day is another drawing. And it goes back and forth like this over like a 40 something day period of here's a drawing, here's another email, here's a drawing, here's an email about something else, here's a drawing, here's an email about something else. And so the open rate on these emails is north of 50%, which really helps our stats.
with
email service providers that are looking at this and deciding what goes in inbox and what goes in spam. So we get really good stats because of this. And we're building a relationship with someone over a long period of time where they're looking forward to every other day, like actually receiving our email. Mm-hmm. And it keeps us, even if it's subconsciously, like on their mind. To the point where hopefully they eventually purchase. And there's, you know, there's some emails in there that are get this product on sale or whatever that are kind of sprinkled throughout there. But the vast majority of the emails are here's like this some free content and value to you, Mr. Potential Customer. And that's the whole campaign.
Yeah. And at what point are you pitching to them? At what point are you hoping that they buy from you?
So we'll, with a couple different junctures there, we'll immediately start running Facebook ads to them because mm-hmm. that's easy to do. But that's a kind of a soft sell.
So you're retargeting them.
We do retarget them with pretty high success. When we send out the drawings, we send out a drawing and then an email like that helps them with like, let's say, coloring or blending. Then a second drawing, and that second drawing will be from the same book that the first drawing was from. Then the next email will be, we hope you enjoyed the two drawings from XYZ book. If you buy the book today, buy the book that these two drawings came out of today, like here's a discount. Mm. So we do send out, I guess by the fourth or fifth day, there's that offer, and that repeats throughout the process.
Gotcha. Okay. Are you guys using messenger marketing yet?
We are big time. I actually think it's the future, and then some.
I agree.
Yeah, so the entire campaign now for this is actually done through Messenger.
It is. Can you kind of take us through that?
Yeah, so we run, we use something called ManyChat, and we use their JSON growth tool.
Yep.
And we actually deliver all the drawings through Messenger. We we've been going back and forth. I think we're actually going to side on the, it's better to deliver the drawings through email, because the ManyChat messages are just so in your face that it actually does irritate some people. And they're out and about a lot of times when the messengers come up, and it irritates them. So we get them, like the first step to it is to get them on our messenger list. And we have over 30,000 people on our list right now.
Awesome. So to get them on your list though, but you said that you're delivering the content through email.
Yeah. So we've switched, like what we found as of right now, and the thing about e-commerce and just technology is that this changes almost on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But our approach to it as of the recording of this episode is to Facebook ad, video ad, Well App performs a static ad. That's a messenger ad unit that we use the ManyChat JSON growth tool to integrate with. So they click on send message, and it says, thank you for your interest in our 20 free drawings. Please type like I want it or whatever the saying is. When they type that in, it says, thank you for your interest. Now they're on our bot. Like now they're on our messenger list just by them interacting with us there. That's the juncture that gets them tracked to us on the messenger list. Then we say, please sign up at this, click this link to sign up. That will send them to a Colorit landing page where they give us their email address. And I call this the trifecta, because in this process, we're getting them on our bot list, we're getting their email address, and we're pixeling them. So we get all three things, and we're able to communicate and market to them over a very long period of time in a non-obtrusive way. 6 months, 9 months, 12 months later, they might finally become a customer. And think about like a typical Facebook ad or a typical Google ad or whatever it might be. The way that people typically market is that, you know, the ad runs, someone comes to the site, they don't buy the product, and it's just like lighting tissue paper on fire, and you're done. Like, I mean, they're never coming back. Like you're not going to get that person back to your website. Like in today's world, you can do some remarketing to them, but that's a pretty low frequency of success. And even that, you're never going to remarket to them for more than 2 weeks. So like, that's the best you're going to do. In my world, with what we're doing, I'm able to market to them over multiple moods, multiple bank account balances, multiple devices, multiple like locations, and you know, just like all these different circumstances and situations over, like I said, 6, 9, 12 months or even more time frame. Like I go back and look at our stuff from time to time and just see, you know, just kind of tinker around like what's the time frame to convert people, and it can be pretty damn long. So, you know, our approach is to just take our time, continue to give them value and communicate with them. If they want to hear from us, if they don't, we stop emailing them. We clean our list very regimentedly. It was difficult at first, like deleting people off of our email list. But if people don't, they don't open our emails for 13 weeks, we stop emailing them. Pretty simple.
So you clean your list every few months?
We actually do it dynamically, basically daily.
Oh, wow. Okay. Based on what criteria? On the last 13 weeks? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. So we use Klaviyo, and it lets you build segments, dynamic segments. And if someone hasn't opened an email for 13 weeks, they immediately fall into a do not email list.
Gotcha.
Or do not email segment. And then whenever we send out an email, we exclude those people.
Gotcha. Now, you mentioned with Messenger and ManyChat and so forth that you are actually emailing them the whatever the offer is, but you are building your messenger list. How are you, once they've joined your email list, how are you leveraging your messenger list at that point?
Yep. So you got to be very careful, because you can only send like one marketing message after you get them on your list. So we typically will message them just value. Like we don't, we only time we ever email or messenger somebody ever about a sale, about a discount, is on Black Friday. We just kind of save that one time for that. The bulk of what we're trying to do is just re-engage them. And like, so for instance, it's like, we're just curious. Do you prefer to color with gel pens, pencils, or markers? Like, what's your favorite? And if they click pencils, then you can say, oh, okay, great. We have a sale on pencils today. That's completely permissible.
Sure.
But you can't just say like, we have a sale on pencils today. Right. So we get around it by engaging them that way, if we want to go about doing something like that.
Yeah.
A recent time that we did it was when we released a new set of gel pens. We asked that same question. Do you prefer coloring with gel pens or pencils, people that select the gel pens, we said, oh, you might like to know that we just released a new set of glitter gel pens today. Click here to go check them out. And that's completely allowed. And if they clicked pencils was their favorite, we sent them, we think you'll love this article on how to blend better with colored pencils. And just do it that way. So, and the open rates on these Facebook Messenger communications are ridiculous. Like,
they're crazy. Yeah. And it's a great way for you to segment too. So if they're clicking on pencils, for example, you know, you can be following up with them with content that's helpful for people writing with pencils.
Yep. So we tag them when they click the button. So we exactly right. Yep.
Gotcha. That link that you said, was it colorit.com/free? Color
yep.
It? Okay.
Colorit. Yep. That's our brand, colorit.com/free.
Okay, cool. Mike, I could talk to you about this forever. And I have a feeling that the feedback here is going to have to have you back on the show, which I would love to have you back on the show at some point. But I want to be conscious of your time. I know you're not feeling well. And so I want to wrap up with just sort of a simple question. Is there anything that we haven't talked about today that you really feel like we should mention?
Oh, man, those are the toughest questions to answer. We talked about so much. And I'm never at a loss for words, but I feel like we covered a pretty good baseline of things. I mean, I don't know. I
actually have one. I'll let you off the hook there.
Okay.
You mentioned video, that you're doing video ads,
yes.
Much, you know, and having much more, better results, more effective than, you know, like a static content type of, or static image type of ad. What is, you know, what's that video ad like? What are you saying in that video? What is it made up of?
Yeah. So super important component to video advertising on Facebook is to stop someone in their tracks. So you got a second and a half or 2 seconds or maybe 2.5 seconds to really grab someone's attention. People I see all the time making huge mistakes. The first 2.5, 3 seconds is like their logo animating or something, you know, to start out the video. Don't do that. So like we try to hit people like over the head with the messages that we're trying to communicate, and then just be clear, concise, and quick with what we're trying to show them on this frictionless type offer. So, mm-hmm. you know, our top of funnel ads are, again, these low friction type offers. So it's just boom, like here, would you like all this stuff for free? Like right out of the gate.
Yeah.
You know, and try to communicate that in that way. And again, not get too fluffy in the video messages because people have a limited amount of time.
And is that somebody on your team that's on video? How are you doing that?
Yeah. So we actually have had this like amazing fortune in our situation that my partner, AJ with Colorit, was the one doing all these ads. And now he actually has a company called TotalProductVideos.com that like he's doing this relatively cheap, decent value for like other e-commerce people.
Hmm.
So he's the one that like basically ends up doing all of our video content, and he's gotten pretty darn good at it.
TotalProductVideos.com. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Awesome. I do want to end with letting people know where they can learn more about you. Where can we send them? You have a bunch of courses that people can check out. Let's start with that. What are the courses that that you've have available for people?
Yep. So as of recording this podcast, we have an importing from China course that gets into basically the question you're asking, like how do you actually find the products and mm-hmm. what to look out for and all the pitfalls and stuff and how to develop a successful product in China. And then the second course we have is how to develop a 7-figure brand. So it gets into all the criteria that I didn't quite have time to talk about,
sure.
the 17 kind of things that we're looking for in a product and how to differentiate specifically and how to develop packaging and like all this other stuff that has led us to a lot of success. And the thing that's really cool about our courses, I think that's different, is like we actually show significant number of products, like our own products, that there's no, like, let's look at this garlic press and, you know, we'll talk theory. Like we just show people, here's the products we've done, give mm-hmm. them more ideas. The third course that we're working on right now, as at the time of recording this, by the time this goes out, it might actually be done, is an Amazon course on how to launch a new number one bestseller product on Amazon, the white hat way. You know, a lot of people teach these like gray hat and black hat tactics on how to launch stuff on Amazon because their business isn't at risk and they don't care. You know, so for me, there's too much involved here. We have more than 20 employees now. We're, you know, heading towards eight figures this year. I don't want my account shut down because, you know, I use the black hat tactic of getting a review or a super URL or some BS like that. So we've developed a way of doing it. It's a little bit more work. It's not overwhelming, but it's a longer term strategy, which I think has probably come through on this podcast. This is like the way that we do business anyway.
Yeah, just going to say,
And, you know, and it's just basically like as close to 100% successful as you can be without, you know, being stupid and realizing that every now and then something goes wrong.
Yeah.
But we've been pretty lucky and fortunate because, again, we got the whole thing kind of dialed down. And that course, the Amazon course, is going to be specifically how to do that.
Cool. And where can people go to get those?
Yep. So ecomcrew.com is the blog, and ecomcrew.com/course is like where the paid courses are.
Okay.
We also have a free area with a bunch of – it's actually the same concept that we use with our coloring brand. We give a bunch of value first. We recorded like all these mini courses and downloadable PDF guides, and our hope is that it gives you a bunch of value and that you like what we do, and eventually you'll take one of our paid courses. But like even if you don't, like no big deal. So you can go to myecomcrew.com to sign up for that, or my.ecomcrew, either way. And then we also have a podcast where I talk about this stuff twice a week in detail. And it's a pretty open and honest and candid podcast of what's going right, what's going wrong. It's a journey. It's just basically me documenting like what's going on in our e-commerce journey, which is a lot of fun.
What's the name of that podcast?
It's just Ecom Crew. So you can search on iTunes. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm going to link everything up that you just mentioned there on the show notes for today's episode. Mike, I gotta thank you so much. This has been I've literally been like just taking frantic notes here because there's been so much gold in what you've been talking about here, and I really want to just acknowledge you for coming on here. I know you've not been feeling well and you got a lot going on, so thank you so much for sharing your expertise and taking us through this evolution for e-commerce and sharing what you have built over the past several years and your knowledge and stuff like that. So thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem. As you can probably tell, I'm really passionate about this stuff and love talking about it. So it was a lot of fun.
All right. Now, here's another thing I am super pumped to share with you. If you're looking for hands-on help with your Facebook ads, then I want to invite you to join my team and me for my FBA live event here in San Diego this coming May 17th, 18th, and 19th. Now, FBA Live, this is my live implementation workshop. I do this twice a year, May and December, and we're going to actually be working on your Facebook ads campaigns together, in addition to having conversations around strategy and areas for improvement for your campaigns. I also have amazing guest speakers come in to speak with you. Facebook ads, as we know, are always changing, and my goal is to have you walking away from this event with things set up the right way and improvements made to your ad campaigns. Now, so that my team and I can have the biggest impact on working with you, I limit the number of spots to just 50 people, and these workshops always fill up. So to learn more and reserve your spot, go to rickmulready.com/FBA live. Again, the link is rickmulready.com/FBA live. I love doing these workshops, hanging out with you for a few days and really moving your Facebook ads and your business forward. Again, that URL is rickmulready.com/FBA live. And I can't wait to see you here in San Diego in May. All right. Hope you got a ton out of today's episode here with Mike. Thank you again so much for listening to the show. As always, really appreciate it. Coming up in the next episode, got another really good one for you. So until then, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode. I love saying that.
Don't worry. There's more of Art of Paid Traffic coming soon. If you can't wait for more incredible digital marketing strategies, head over to rickmulready.com. We'll see you next time.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link and you can go download it right now for free.